Robert's right here, and he's our manager for West Jordan's. He's coming, right, Alexis?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to wait for him? Or?
He's back here.
He's it. Of course.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to the December 8th, 2025 meeting of the Salt Lake County Library. Now on second. Joey, take it away with our welcome.
Welcome. thank you for coming today. This, I am astonished, is our last board meeting of the year. We have a real agenda. We have a few things that we're excited to be talking to you about today. And hopefully, but also a little bit of a not too heavy of an agenda, so we can try to relax and go out in style, I guess, or at least in a little bit more of a leisure, at a little bit more of a leisurely pace for the year. So I think that's it. Thank you, of course, to our members of the public who are here joining us today. Thank you to the staff who helped prepare not just the agenda, but all of the work that leads up to the agenda. I think that's our welcome. I'm glad excited to have a good conversation today.
Well, our first action item is to approve the minutes from the October 27th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? A motion from Bill. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Anastasia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes pass. All right, we've got some members of the public here. We'd like to recognize them. Do we have any comments from any members of the public that are here? Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Van Maren, resident of the Draper. I thought I knew this library, but there's been remodeling. I got sidetracked. I didn't think I could come in the side door and come upstairs, so I'll have to take the tour again. Thank you.
do we have any members of the public online?
No.
No? Okay. Well, appreciate it. Correspondence. Do we have any correspondence to discuss?
We have our in-rich surveys, which occasionally I share with you information that we received from those. We have a particularly vocal respondent in Taylorsville. We have a few comments from this person, and they love our Taylorsville staff. And you know what? I love that somebody wants to tell us about how great our staff is. It's more than that. So we're excited about that feedback. And of course, our staff and our branches do a great job everywhere and at Taylorsville. So we've got a super fan there, which is great. We also had a couple of questions about accessing our 3D printing and create spaces. So that's feedback that we're always taking. And we did receive one comment about folks who appear to be unsheltered spending time in our branches. And that is, of course, an ongoing consideration for us. The library welcomes everyone. We need to make sure that we're managing the spaces in a way where folks can be, and also it stays safe. So those are our, that's the correspondence report.
All right. Great. Appreciate it. Turning to our agenda items, we have the introduction of the West Jordan branch by Vern Waters.
Is there, we've got a little PowerPoint.
Let's see. If any of you follow the Salt Lake County's Instagram, if not, which you should, if you don't, Vern is frequently in the future.
And Alexis. So please scroll all the way down. Almost. That's the last
It's a
short look.
Yeah, in the day of the
a short look.
The short letter?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's our tech person. Once I start doing minutes, I don't got time for that.
okay. That'll be fine. So my
I have a new assistant. She's been with us just a little over a year, and she got hurt over the weekend. She was planning to be here, but she's very limpy, and she says she's busy, and we said, we'll wheel you in. We have a wheelchair, and we said, but she decided she would rather make a better impression for you all at a later date. So we're looking forward to seeing her, meeting her sometime soon. Alexis is going to join me. He's going to talk a little bit about the branch, too. I don't know if you noticed the kindness rocks down in the plaza. We got those probably a year and a half ago. The Westlake. I can't remember for sure what the school called. Anyway, they contacted us and said, we have this idea. And I thought it would be a little box of rocks. And then a few weeks later, they said, we have the rocks ready, and we have a whole pickup truck load. So if you have a chance, take a look. They're really wonderful. Oftentimes when I'm coming in, I'll take a moment to just read some of those great rocks. And we had a picture that we would have loved to show you. Our building was built in 2012 to replace a branch across the street that was built in 1981. We're one of the early examples of a county LEED certified building, and we share the building with admin across the hall here and the Verdun across the plaza. We're located by the tax line, senior center down the way, the Gene Former Rec Center, and then the Veterans Memorial Park with that wonderful playground on the other side. And kind of behind the scenes for our branch, we're always kind of number two in door count, second behind Sandy pretty much every month. We have 22 staff members, including the branch manager, an assistant manager, a search supervisor, his assistant, four librarians, one assistant librarian, seven customer service specialists, five shelters, and a custodian. And this year, so far, we've had 35 total community and court-ordered volunteers for a total of 687 hours for the year. And as was mentioned, we film a lot of the social media stuff here. We do Sunday funds every Sunday. Our my first solo fund, I don't think this is a reflection of me, but it was a thing a little fun about pros. It has over 2 million views. Black Tongue's Cheese has over a million views. So that's been kind of fun. And Alexis and I used to do them together, and that was a lot of fun, but it was hard to kind of coordinate us to get us together. As of the end of November, we have 117,473 items in our collection. We recently did kind of a shift with our fiction section and the genre fiction. We also moved our large print materials up closer to the front because we thought, why are we making the elderly patrons that like that collection walk so far into the library to reach those items? So we think that that will help with our circulation. And that project was amazing. How long did it take? Less than a week to do the whole shift, right? Four and a half business days. Very amazing collaboration. We partnered the library. I did the shift myself, shifting the collection. Was really amazing. We're really lucky the way that there isn't a lot of separation between the circulation people and the library, and it's a very integrated staff here. Our staff is on 34 committees and work groups, and we're also kind of a training library for new subs for both the search site and the reference desk. And I'm going to turn over to Alexis for a moment, and we will be happy to give it. On behind the scenes.
And so Vernon said we're so not only for staff, but for new the TOLT program. We don't only have a lot of them. In 5 months of spice club, and boy, I got the taste of these spices that I've never tasted before in 6 months.
And that's kind of a recipe and actual spices.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Yeah.
And 6 take-home clean art kits, 7 stops, a monthly scavenger hunt for the system, 8 root bins of food donation. High school.
We haven't heard that until late, but there was a lot of
teenagers. It was kind of hard to get them to come pick up the stuff. I often have all kinds of food. But they finally came back for a week, so that's nice. We did 9 copies for the senior book club, partly the book club, to Stanford Adventure, and sent out each of them to schools or elementary, high schools, middle schools. We had 11 winners for the gift and art competition and 12 ghosts at the library, and many more events at the library. As I think this library, for me in particular, the demographic, you know, there's a, like, different branches. You'll have younger families, more seniors, and this building, I think it has every demographic, just because it's so simply working, and there's so many resources, and it's a joy to work with.
Do you guys have any questions for us?
Love to hear your favorite pun.
It's a great delegation.
While you're thinking, the crow win was all of the crows on the entire planet Earth that lost the ability to communicate. Scientists are trying to find the cause. The cottage cheese one is it's not even a cheese at all. That's just a curtain. Even when we're filming, like as we plug up lines,
part of it is other people watching. They're laughing in the background.
That's part of the joy or the idea is that we don't laugh, but it's so hard when people behind the cameras are laughing. Still laughing about the last one. It's like that teacher.
Thank you guys so much for being here.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, it's now my home library, even though it wouldn't be based on where I live, but your displays are often informing what I'm reading next. So, yeah, it's great. You guys do a great job. This is a really beloved ranch, and people coming in, to get, like, zooming through on the way to the park, like the rec center, senior center, you know, just down the way, and the park adjacency and the library here is just one of our favorite setups. We love having these other amenities near our branches because we are able to just be a part of a really holistic approach to serving the community. So, thank you, guys.
All right. We've back on you, Joey, to welcome the new ones.
There she is. Hi, Janae. Yeah, I want to introduce you to a new associate director, which is hopefully the last new associate director we'll have for a while. Janae Mortensen has joined our team. She is going to be supporting our facilities team, our construction efforts, and some other projects developing a system-wide safety plan and some other sort of big system-wide projects. For us, and she comes to us from Aging Services. I won't dive into her resume too much. I'll let her introduce herself. Janae, tell us about yourself.
Welcome. I'll actually come over here so everyone can see me and not have to turn weird. Like Joey said, I'm Janae Mortensen. I've worked for the county for 18 years, but I spent 6 months earlier this year with Library Services when I was shadowing Leslie Webster, so you might remember me. But I've worked in recreation. I recently was working for Aging and Adult Services for the last 13 years. So I have a wide variety of experience with the public, but I'm super excited to be working with the libraries. My six-month career mobility was a great experience, and I was so excited when the opportunity came for me to come back. So I'm super excited to be here, and I'm excited to work on projects we have going on and some of the special projects that will be coming up now that there hopefully is a little more capacity to take off of everyone's plate to work on some other projects that need some building to go on. So does anyone have any questions for me?
You're so welcome.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Great to have on board.
Thank you.
Janae Lightbrad comes from the county, so has a lot of experience and partnerships that I think will really help benefit the library, and both had great reviews, I would say, from library folks who had the opportunity to work with them. So that's always, we know with Matt, who's not here today, and Jen and the other members of our leadership team, the great attributes they have when you're bringing in somebody from elsewhere. It's nice to have those additional endorsements. So we're excited to have Rich anyway.
All right, speaking of Brad, the next action item, Joey and Brad are going to tell us about is the write-off policy.
Yes. So the write-off policy is something we've been working on for a little while. It has to do with sort of some record retention and some that came to our attention both when Brad joined our team as well as in light of GDPA, the Data Privacy Act, how long we're keeping patron information on our records is something that we're really paying attention to. Privacy is a core library value anyway, and so this timing works out well and aligns with the GDPA, aligns with something that's important to us. So, but into the details, it's Brad. So,
yeah, so we're at a policy. This is for a bad debt that we need. So any fines or fees that we levy, and we're not able to get that. This will not affect our budget at all. We always budget for what we expect. Based on past actuals. This is the numbers that we've been keeping around since 1997. And so how the county works is the county has a broad overall write-off policy, but then the individual agencies have to develop their own write-off policy based on their own individual circumstances on how they're going to do that. So while the county's always had one, the libraries never have one. And so we've got records set on our since 1997. And so from building and building, we just want to clean up our databases. We're never going to see any of this money. And so we came up with this policy.
So I would say records said like sort of like a receivable sitting on the books that goes back to 97.
It's on our own internal ledger. It's not on our, because all of our stuff goes up in the county, and it's not on the county's ledger. But okay. We do keep a database of it. We do have a receivables ledger, but it's not, we're not going to have to write it off on our official ledger. Just And so, yeah, it's been building for a long time. And so we, our write-off policy that we come up with is essentially, the end result is we want to write off anything after 3 years. After 3 years, if you haven't been using your account, your account gets inactivated anyway. And so if you come back, but all of that old debt, we're never going to collect. Typically, we don't collect that. We also have to, when we have somebody who's owed more than $300, we have to send that to the DA's office for collections. They have their own collections team. And so once we send it to the DA's office, technically it's no longer our debt, but we've been keeping these records. And so we should be writing it off when we send it out as well. And so that's just the bulk of what it is. And then there's some other things in there as well, such as if a person asks when we did this, if we can write that off then, or if we made an error, or somebody had bankruptcy, you know, all that kind of typical legal stuff that we should have been writing it off. And that's pretty much the policy. So.
Do you have a sense of just kind of that curiosity what like the dollar value of the write-offs would be?
Since it is since 97.
Well, I'm saying like I need the 97 number, but it's like on a year of your basis when you're just looking back like a fire. What's it say? It's effective for the fire.
For the average yearly basis, if you look back for the past 30 years, it's been about 185,000.
Okay.
We have got that down. For the past few years, we have a collection agency, an outside collection agency that we send stuff to now before it gets high enough to send to the DA's office. And so since that process, we have able to get that down a lot. And most of the things that we continue to work on trying to get our budget.
And the elimination of fines on children's materials also reduces that. So the amount that we would even be attempting to collect has decreased over time. We've put in these intermediary measures to collect it more effectively. And then just part of being a library is accepting that sometimes you're going to tell them that they need to bring their books back or pay you, and that they don't. Most of the time they do. My library's work. But there's this small portion of that after 3 years, we don't want to be holding on to that information anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's been separate from our sort of standard fiscal processes, it's part of the reason that it's been maintained for so long, because we have more regular turnover processes for those that are integrated into the broader county process.
Mm-hmm. So if they do end up coming back, so they have the 3 years of where they don't ever come, if they come back like 2 years after that, that is still going to be gone. They won't have to stay in, right? Okay.
For ones that do go to the DA's office, is that at the same time in 3 years, or is it as soon as we have the debt, get assessed in the DA's office? That day
as soon as we send it to the DA's office, we do have to write it off about it. Because it's not the library's debt anymore, it is for the county.
And so what triggers that?
So we have a process. So at $25, we close the account. If it gets up to $50, if you have a balance of $50, that's when we send it to the outside collection agency. And that goes out there for 120 days. After that point, it comes back to us. If the debt gets up to $300, it's that $300 threshold. So as soon as it kind of gets up to that threshold, you pay our own internal accounts, that's when we send it to the DA's office. And that process of sending it to the DA's office, that's part of that overall county policy.
And the collection agency that we send that lower level debt to is specific to libraries, and they're like pretty nice. Like, we're not trying to like shake down. We need to make sure that we're operating responsibly and that we're getting our resources back. We're being compensated for lost materials. But the company, it's not like broad-shouldered guys showing up at your doorstep, you know, and intimidating you. It's or
Alexis Nightpower.
So the goal is to recognize that our function is to provide a service for folks, but also that this only works if people are bringing back the materials, you know, that we need. So finding that balance.
So really we're talking about the debt after 120 days that's returned to the library but doesn't meet that $300 threshold once it sits there for 3 years, the ability to write it off. So then my question is, what is the impact on that person if they then want to move them to the library? Does that reflect on them applying for a new library card? Is there some sort of record retention, or it's just...
It's like being at that point.
I think once that debt is gone and that card has been used for 3 years, it's pretty
much the end.
So there could be a long con where... Generally, when we are dealing with these, we're talking about pretty small amounts, and it's something like a pile of kids' books got lost somewhere, you know, and that is just not, we're not trying to ruin somebody's life about it. We are trying to be responsible stewards of taxpayer dollars. So it's that balance, and we think this 3 years is really a reasonable time frame to be able to potentially collect on that debt. And then after that, it's unlikely we're going to collect it anyway, and now we've just got this patron data on our records that we don't want to have be a risk.
So one other question, and this is maybe just completely random, but somebody's house burns down, or they're in a car accident or something like that, and books are damaged. How would that work in this?
So we do have a separate waiver policy.
Okay.
And so this is just for the bad debt. There are different criteria for the waiver policies for situations.
So I guess in terms of the action item,
yeah.
Is there a written policy that would be displayed on the
We just call it, Emily was just asking about that. Do we just call it best practice? I mean, it said there's no official policy, right?
No, there is.
There is.
Oh, I didn't ever receive one.
We're going to send it out.
Yeah, we'll send it out.
And so you have to review it. I'm sorry that we did that. I actually didn't notice it wasn't in our file, and I was like, that's really weird.
We would have had so many more questions.
So make sure you've got it and we can bring it back for a final approval.
On January.
Yeah, which we do sometimes anyways, introduce a policy and vote next time.
No.
So we're staying true with our tradition, only with the surprise bonus, not sending you the policy to sign, so we'll fix that before January.
I'm sorry I didn't raise that earlier. I just didn't. I was like, is there or not?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize there wasn't under. I would have felt too funny now. Sorry.
No, I really want to run off at a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
the interest. I'm just kidding.
Funny.
White people.
And we'll remind you again in January, but this doesn't have a fiscal impact for us because it's been this separate ledger. This is just this our ongoing budget will be as it is.
What I saw before, do you want to talk about rounding for cash transactions?
That's just what point of procedure. Since it's there, there's an action item here, do we need to like make a motion to defer it next time? Or, I mean,
yeah, that's a fair point, I guess. Yeah, sure. Let's. Do I have a motion to defer this until January on
be happy to
review of the written policy?
Be happy to make that one.
We have a motion to build it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, hearing none, motion passed. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next action, or the next item is pennies are going away. And so we have to deal with that at the moment. One of the things that we're proposing is rounding up or down. And so we're going to be working in conjunction with Friends Financial Accounting. So there's going to be thought maybe January 1st, but when we look at the countywide thing, that might be delayed if we're doing something with the channel. So we just wanted to make sure that you all were aware of that, so that's going to be coming up. Let's see if you have concerns about that. We're hoping for January 1st, but again, that might be delayed depending on what's going on with the account.
Well, there's still billions of pennies in circulation.
No, it's
good point. So you
guys on. Yeah. Any other questions there?
But what if we wanted to do a beef coffee tabletop or
round it like everybody
go after it
next?
Actually, I think it looks like the absolute worst, but I'm amazed when I see people doing it.
Yeah, I'm just going to get rid of my pennies for so long. Oh, my gosh, my nephew would love them. He thinks that he's going to be rich one day by collecting every single penny.
All right. Strategic plan?
Okay, yeah. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking with you guys just about an effort that I think we've mentioned somewhat in our previous meetings, maybe in passing here and there. But let you know, we've been working with our team on a system strategic planning effort for the last year. We spent a lot of time meeting with folks from different parts of the agency. So last now-ish, right? So like November, December of 2024. It's hard at the end of the year to remember which year you're in. I don't remember which year is the last year. 2024, doing like SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, with big post-its and little post-its on it. And we did probably 8 different sessions with 30 to 40 people per session, sort of coming in, doing post-its, having conversations about what are things that we see that we need to be working on. And we know we have some big projects that are coming no matter what, right? Library rebuilds, that kind of thing, as we move forward with that. But we really, particularly because even though I've been here for like a while now, it still feels pretty new in some ways, and wanted to have time to hear from our staff in particular about what's important to them, what we're seeing going forward, looking at sort of
the community, the environment, what it means to be a library now. Following those discussions with our staff, then we met as a leadership team. We had some support from an associate director at the planetarium who's also a strategic planning person. He's got like some consulting experience. So he was able to facilitate some additional discussions for us to help sort of organize and categorize our thinking. And then we started to narrow down the scope of what we're working on, embedded those ideas with leaders throughout a series of additional meetings throughout the agency throughout the year. So it's been like a month talking with our folks about what feels important about what we do. And so we narrowed that down, and we wanted to keep it kind of more simple in terms of a document for our staff. We got it simple enough that it's actually a poster, which is kind of a lot of words, but I'm going to tell you about those words, and that's going to help. I'm going to show the poster to the screen. Oh, there's a poster right there. It's going to help tell you what it is. So first, we decided not to change our mission, make a positive difference in the lives of our community by inspiring imagination, satisfying curiosity, and providing a great place to visit. We feel like that really encapsulates what we do in a meaningful way. But we did identify a vision, and this has been something that we've really centered our thinking around, which is every visit matters, meaning every single time, every single patron connects with the library, whether it's in our branches, whether it's online, whether it's via an app, we want that to be a positive experience. It counts. It matters. You come in. We want our staff to be making eye contact with you and welcoming you. When you need help checking out a book, even though we have self-checkout, we want somebody who's there and happy to help you manage that process. We want you to be able to find what you need when you're looking on our website. We want you to, I mean, there's Libby is Libby. We don't have total control over that, right? But, like, we want to have the materials that you want there. And our collection team does an amazing job of making sure that we have the items that people want in the ratios that keep our hold times as down as low as we can do with our budget. And so every visit matters. Each person is important when they're connecting with our system. We also identified some key values to help frame our thinking. The county has values, but we call them the RICE values because respect, integrity, caring, and excellence. Yeah. And we do... yeah. So... And that's still something that's really important to us. But there's some specific values that are library industry core values and certainly county library values. And so we wanted to make sure we captured those as well. Access. We provide all members of our community with equal access to technology, spaces, and information. Like, we want to make sure that we're accessible in a, like, broad sense of the term, also in a sort of specific sense of the term. Intellectual freedom, that's a core library value. We want people to read, watch, and listen to whatever they want without restrictions or censorship. That's us. That's libraries. Privacy, we safeguard the confidentiality of what people read, watch, and listen to. That's another core library value. It's one of the key reasons we're excited about this write-off policy. That when you're here and you're accessing the services and the information that we have here, that's private. That's not something that we're going to share with the government, like with a capital G, right? Like, you, part of free speech is being able to access that speech without repercussion. And finally, we want to be welcoming. We want to approach each interaction with courtesy, openness, and respect. That's for people coming into our branches, and honestly, that's a way to be with each other as well. Open, curious, inviting. So that's kind of our core driving principles for us. And although the process of having all of these conversations did not like draw something out, they were like, whoa, where did this value come from? We did feel like it was a useful opportunity for us to organize our thinking and communicate with our staff that we're hearing them talk about what's important about what we do and hearing from our community about the important services that we provide. And so then we wanted to figure out, okay, well, so now what do we do with that? Well, we have to organize some activities, and we decided to organize our activities around something that's our pillars. So we have four strategic pillars. The first one is engaged and empowered staff. The second one is responsible stewardship. The third one is a patron-centered approach. And the fourth one is a cohesive vision. And so I'm seeing you guys take some notes. You can totally send me a poster. You can hang it up. Just kidding. but you can have it. So that you can see this. One of the things that we really wanted to focus on as we're identifying key initiatives for us going forward, let me back up and say, part of the reason we felt like this discussion was important is because libraries are big and could have, like, we could go in infinity directions, right? When you serve everyone and you just have materials for everyone, you could really spread yourself, and we do spread ourselves really thin, trying to be too many things to too many people. So we need to be able to organize our efforts and our resources and preserve the energy of our employees, which is our most important resource, to be providing excellent service to the community. And so as we're choosing the activities that are going to take our focus and our money and our time, we want to make sure that we are supporting engaged and empowered staff. So staff are supported, pursuing excellence and connecting to the community. So when we're deciding, we're having a budget discussion, or we're deciding somebody comes forward with an initiative they want us to do, you know, is this going to help support engaged and empowered staff? We also have some specific activities that we're working on that we'll be focusing with task force and committee workers to support these. Responsible stewardship. We have robust finance, technology, and facility plans, and incredible practices. Can't keep doing this if we can't keep doing this, right? So as we're looking at our buildings, as we're looking at our technology plans, and any resource that we have, our staff, we have to make sure we're planning for now and our long-term needs, and that we're managing that responsibly. Patron-centered approach. Patrons can find relevant materials, programs, resources, and services, and that's about making sure that we remember who we're serving, right? And that's also really tied to that every visit matters. Every visit matters. We want to keep providing people what they need. We're a popular library. You've heard us say that before. And as a popular library, we... I say it every time. It's not insane. It means that we have popular materials as opposed to, like, an archival library, a genealogy library, a law library. And we nail it with being a popular library. We have a lot of materials that move fast. And then finally, this was something that really came up a lot in our conversation with staff, is a cohesive vision. They want to know why our leadership team is making the decisions that we're making. They want to be able to have sort of transparency in that process. And so one of the things that we've really been focusing on is increasing access for staff to the leadership team just as humans, so they, I don't know, we're not like mysterious. And certainly creating the framework and the tools and the processes for people to understand how a decision that's here came from, you know, a different place in the organization. So we have a number of projects that we're working on. We have some task force. We've got a career development task force that's going to be focusing on the engagement of our staff. We're going to be working on our building design. We're making sure that we've got, like, a cookbook for our buildings, which is to say, what have we learned from our last buildings that we're doing that we want to make sure that we incorporate? Because when you're designing a building, anything seems possible. When you're maintaining a building, you get some wisdom. We want to make sure that we're, and when you're operating a building, you get some wisdom. And we want to make sure that we're integrating that wisdom into our future builds. And then, you know, for our patron-centered approach, we're really working on that. We'll have an Every Visit Matters task force to focus on customer service training and embracing that focus for us. And then for our cohesive vision, one of the things that we put on is that people want to have fewer channels of communication.
So we'll be doing an analysis, which, in their defense, there are many. We have our staff portal, and we have emails, and we have Slack channels, and like a lot of them, and you know, different places that people can be getting different kinds of information. So the Streamlight app. We have additional projects that I can tell you about if you want to hear about it in great detail.
Oh, sorry, the channels of communication comment. That's more about staff as opposed to patrons, right?
Ooh, that's a staff focus. But our Every Visit Matters should be focusing on that patron experience. And another one that we have is actually one of our, I can't remember if it's a task force or committee. We have defined distinctions between those. The task force being a start and end to it, to do an analysis of the patron, like IT experience. So what is the experience coming to our website? What's the experience using our apps? And what's the experience in our branches when you're using the computers there? So that's where I think more of that would get captured.
Okay.
But I also am hearing that perhaps that's something for us to think about. Like, if you're saying if it's about the patron experience, I'm wondering if you're like, yeah, I get all these different communications from the library. Like,
well,
it's not clear.
I mean, we're just curious because you get emails and phone calls, and there's the much side of the app. That's what triggered it to me, but...
Yeah, that's great feedback. So one of the things that we're also expecting from some of these groups is to engage the community on these points. Like, we won't be making these, some of them, we'll be making those determinations ourselves. But for our Every Visit Matters Task Force, or committee. We'll start with a survey. So a patron survey to help figure out sort of what's our baseline, what are we looking at there, so we can target our efforts to improve that. So I would say the discussion leading up into this portion of it has largely been staff input. And part of this is we really, particularly given the amount of shifting that we've had on our leadership team, was building the relationship between our leadership lead and me as a director with our colleagues throughout the system. But this will require community engagement. We can't make these decisions without input from our patrons and our board members, if you like. So we can reach back out as these projects, which will kick off in January. The groups will come together to start working on it. And then we want to make sure that the next tier of this is getting community back. But without too much, because you can't oversurvey people. That's a separate problem. So so we'll be trying to balance those
My only question is how do you see the board helping facilitate this or being a part of this process?
That's a great question, and I would love your feedback on that. How much do you want to be involved? You guys are busy. We want to honor and respect the demands that are already on your time. We're so grateful for your service already. I also think that our board, that's one of the things that we've been talking about as a leadership team, is our board is, you guys have so much rich expertise that could benefit these conversations. And so, what say you, board? The level of involvement. We could come to you in a meeting, we could set it up so that we have periodic report outs to this group. If there's an interest, if there's an area where you have a particular interest, we could set something up that way. We have four pillars, and I think we have three system-wide committees or task forces working on something related to each of those pillars. So, like, I mean, we could give you a part-time job. I don't think that's what you're asking.
When I think about our board's purpose, I think of us as head in, hands out, right? Like, you're the experts in the space, but anytime that we can help guide or get a report back to help make sure the needle's moving, I think that's helpful. But I think of it us as head and hands out, right? Like I don't think it's helpful if we get to the weeds on the, you're the experts of the space and you do it every day and you know what's needed, right? That's what I think of it, but you know, just different thoughts.
I agree. I think, you know, one of the other things is you know, the whole reason why they created the board structure for libraries is for the community involvement. Mm-hmm. And so I think that can be also a way that you have, you know, questions that, like, what it, you know, with our interactions with community, like what do you think could happen in this sort of scenario?
Well, we would love to reach out to you individually or as a group. Oh, and it looks like there's a hand. Is that what you're saying?
Just this one.
Oh, it would be great to know, oh, where or how we can best support this process. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jessica. Yeah, okay. Well, let me stop myself and see if anybody else have any other thoughts about that.
I mean, I'm also something that's so intuitive. A lot of my work and the library work overlaps, so if I can lend any expertise in that area.
Okay, I think that is something that we would benefit from, certainly. I mean, that individual expertise. So we can reach out to you individually, and we can certainly, we would love to provide you with regular progress on what we're doing. And if we're stumped about something, we can ask you about it. And maybe, you know, in the time that I watched this meeting, before I was facilitating this meeting, which wasn't that long, you know, a lot of times we would sort of bring the board's projects that were mostly little directions. A lot of times we would bring you projects that are kind of farther along, like, here's what we're thinking, here's our recommendation, you support this recommendation. And I think there might be opportunities to bring you questions. And maybe that's another way to think about engaging on that, if that sounds good to you.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, it's, you know, we want to see this type of stuff moving forward, and I think everybody's here is like, I think is a fan of that, and so happy to help everything.
Well, thank you. But
also don't want to, you know, and level of administrative burden to this as well. So, I mean, I feel like it kind of has, you know, reach out to us individually, maybe start with like a periodic update that hopefully doesn't add too much to the overall implementation process, and we can, you know, go from there. I mean, trying to think of how we could be helpful with having another reporting layer on this thing.
Well, thank you. One of the things that we think is important about an effective strategic plan is that it's a living document and process. So carrying the conversations here is a great way for us to make sure that it's staying fresh and important. Mm-hmm. In the same way that we've had conversations about making sure that we're still talking about how we're focusing on the strategic plan. I think we've got a good setup that we'll be working on it, whether we're talking about working on it or not, because we've got these task forces and these committees that are going to be making progress on these identified efforts. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to tie it back to the plan itself, because we asked for so much feedback in that process, and I just want to make sure that our team knows that we were listening. And so talking about it here, I think, is a really natural extension of that. And thank you for not trying to.
What's your lifespan of your strategic plan cycle? Do they go 5 years? Do they go?
Well, I'll tell you what about that. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't know what. Okay. When was the last time we did a big event?
10 years. Oh, okay. Wow.
I think we're looking at this as something that's in the, like, 3 to 5 year range. That's it. I think this is going to be a good start and get us some momentum on some things that are important for the next couple of years. And then I expect it will be time for us to have that conversation again. So, yeah. Anyway, you guys, our marketing team put together these posters, and I really love them. I think, you know, we had talked about how we want this to show up, and it is kind of, it's a lot of words on a poster, but a poster is a really accessible way to get information as opposed to, say, a 25-page brochure. Yeah, they talked about that, all of that. We had a good process, and I'm proud of our engagement of our staff in that, and I'm so grateful for how forthcoming our colleagues were throughout the system. Like, they really let us know how they feel, and that's what we want. And I think that helps shape something that's going to be, I think, a helpful tool for us.
Placement of posters is really important too. So someone's going to be standing or sitting for a little bit, like not really doing anything else, and like having a poster like at eye level is really helpful.
Near a microwave.
mirror by screaming. That's the room. They're like, or like at the checkout desk, like just kind of like there. They'll look down and be like, oh, look at there. This is if people, like, if places where people pause to place the posters with a lot of words because people will generally read the whole thing, or at least pass.
Yeah, okay. That's a great suggestion. Thank you. We've got it on our internal website, on our various sources of truth. So we've got to narrow it down for our total source of truth. So, anyway, are there any other questions about that?
Thank you.
Now, sorry, you're going to have to talk some more because it's time for the director's report.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to take a sip of my beverage and then we'll just sleep. On that. A few things. Today is the 8th. Tomorrow, the county council will be approving the final budget for the county. And so I wanted to update you on a couple of items. We had made several requests related to personnel, both of you. One of them was for the extension of a construction manager position to help us with the construction. They said yes to that. Great. Really getting ready to gear up for that. We have requested a position, and I know that we talked to you about these in our October meeting, but maybe it's not. Maybe you didn't catalog them. Exactly. We had also requested a fundraising FTE, full-time employee, to help us with some fundraising efforts, and they approved that position. The council decided to make that a time-limited position for 2 years. 2 years is a little tricky because it's the number of sort of working months that you get from that isn't actually very many because you can't post the position until it takes a while to get somebody in the position, and then you want to have them do the position for a minute. And then I think if I were in a time limit position, maybe 6 months out, I would start looking for a different job. So, yeah.
Did they put in there like an amendment or anything to like possibly extend or turn into a permanent position?
So that's what we'll ask.
Okay.
So we'll see how things go over the next year and when we can get the position. And maybe next year we can go in and look for an extension or after that. Okay. And ideally, the hope would be that we are able to demonstrate proof of concept and then make it ongoing. In other parts of the county, we've seen some of these positions pay for themselves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So 2 years is better than no years. So we're here to try and make it work, and we're glad to have the support for this approach going forward, and then our hope would be to be able to make it something in return. We had also asked for a safety position, which was not funded. That surprised me a little bit going into it. I thought that would be something that would be a higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at this point, that wasn't. I think that we have some work to do to educate our council members about how we're already working with local law enforcement and some of the partnerships that we have to try and make sure that we're keeping our branches safe. We started a conversation and we'll keep it going. But in 2026, we won't get that FTE, and that is a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep going. We'll try to make sure that we're letting folks know about what the need is for that. And that's one of the pieces that Janae is going to be working on. And so I think, by the time we're in budget season next year, we're going to have a lot more data and some additional information about that I think will help make that a more compelling request. So we'll keep trying. Other than that, it was pending to their final action tomorrow. Our other requests were sort of approved, and we're glad to have their support. This year, there was a general property tax increase, which does not affect the library. The library is a separate line. The library was not included in that. And so I think that did make it a little bit easier to ask for things, actually, for them to consider them, because we're in that separate budget. There weren't any asks that we were going to have that would have an effect on the tax increase. So, that's not very clear to everybody in the public about what the tax increase is. I mean, I think some people thought it was going to be a 19 or 20%. And I think some folks thought that was going to be a total 20% increase, not just on that specific line item on their taxes, because it's really confusing.
The library is had a tax increase in 2022, and that's sort of how we continue to operate. The other thing that I'm trying to remember, but our land transaction in Midvale was approved, so... That's right, because I think we talked to you guys about it months ago. And then a lot of things happened, so we'll be moving forward with that. Midvale decided we're supposed to be closing on the property before the end of the year. So, yeah, so that'll be great. That'll be great. New branch in Midvale is good news for everyone. One other thing that I wanted to mention is that Governor Hodgepodge. Yeah! Governor Hodge held a budget speech, his budget press conference at our Kearns branch. Just last Wednesday, because he and First Lady Abby Cox are particularly interested. They are launching an initiative to support early literacy. They're concerned about the number of kids who are not reading on grade level by third grade. So reading on third grade, math on eighth grade are pretty well established benchmarks for student and life success. And our numbers in the state bears some attention. So they're working on that and wanted to have their budget speech at a library to sort of show that. And we were able to hold it at the Kearns branch, which is such a beautiful branch, and is a branch that I don't know how many people outside Kearns would end up at. I think Kearns is, I don't know, it's its own community there, and we have so many people say, I mean, even some of our county partners are like, I've never been to this branch. I haven't made it out to the Kearns branch yet. And so they were able to come in and see this really beautiful space with this vibrant artwork. And it was just, I think it was a really, it made a great impression for people about what libraries are now. And so we were honored to have the opportunity to have that conversation and certainly to have the governor and first lady launching this initiative to focus on literacy, which is like, we're into. So that was really exciting. It was really exciting. We're grateful that they thought of the county library as a place to kick off that conversation. Did I miss anything? Teams, you got it? Okay. Well, there's a lot. We've got a whole team of people who can tell me. So we've got that. So that's the director's report. Kind of a lot going on, and we're excited about moving into the holidays and getting ramped up with our strategic plan projects next year. So we'll have a lot to report back to you on.
Yeah, a lot going on. Sure. Thank you, Joy. All right, Sarah.
Thank you. So I mentioned the governor's press conference was probably our biggest media hit in the past month, but we also got some media coverage for the Midvale land. Because that was wonderful because it was unanimous at both the county and the Midvale City. So much fun to have that much support. It's a weird group of stand in. Since Brian's here, I did want to talk about social media really quick. We've been doing this thing called Sunday Funday for probably a decade at this point. It's puns that we do on Sunday. It's usually focused on works of the language. In the past, it's been photos or other visual things, and earlier this year, Marissa and Bro, our PR coordinator, started playing with the format to be more video-focused. So for a while, it was different librarians just doing a string of jokes, but over the past, say, 4 months, it's kind of settled into her doing our joke in English, and it's just one joke. And we've had a lot of them that have really gone viral. So usually with our reels, we'll have probably like 5,000 or 6,000 views per reel, but we've had 6 that have been 50,000 or more views, and then we've got one that's 1.3 million and one that's 2.1 million. So it's really fun when they take off, but it's also had a really great impact on our Instagram audience. So our audience of people who like our Instagram account has pretty much doubled for the past 8 months. Just with all of these different ways that we're focusing on. So that is fun. And then just some events for you to know about all this month, a lot of holiday programming. So our Meridian Event Center is doing Christmas movie classics every Monday. to go to Washington with family, and then they're going up through Christmas. They're also doing the New Year's Eve Gala, which is their big adult night out event for the year. Registration for that opens on Wednesday. That should sell out pretty quickly, so if you want to come, sign up or let us know and we'll get you in. And then we also have a lot of other New Year's events, like the New Year's Eve, which we do for a little bit. So they have to do a balloon drop at noon. The New Year. So a lot of great holiday events. Any questions for me?
Tiny Art Show announcements. Anne was telling us our Wednesday and Saturday for our Tiny Art Show
winners.
Yes. Right? So that's our Draper branch, INLS. So if you haven't had a chance, I think the voting is closed, but you can still swing by Draper and check out the Tiny Art Show, which is super fun.
You are. I was just grabbing my
head. You're going to say, what's your name? Yeah, I'm impressed.
Janae, you want to talk about facilities and safety?
Yeah, we'll see how much I can say, but I will rely on Luke and Sean to correct me on anything. We do have six different projects going on for construction capital improvement projects right now. So we have the Draper Library is getting their HVAC done. The contracts are in process. There's the contract has been selected, and so we anticipate that that project's going to start in September of 2026 because of equipment lead times. So in process, going to take some time to get some equipment. We also have the South Jordan Library HVAC system. HVAC, always so much fun for everyone. That project has been bid. The contracts are in process, and we've also had the construction vendor contractor, that's the right word for that. That is also, we're doing the pre-construction meeting and anticipate a start date in March of 2026, but also in September of 2026. Luke got confused by the note there. Also equipment lead times. So a little bit of both on that. Okay, perfect. Then, thanks to Luke and Sean, we got system-wide Zeroscape that has been going on for several years. And so they've completed projects at Bingham Creek and South Jordan and received $27,090 in rebates from working with Utah Water Savers and Jordan Valley Water District. So great rebates for making the Zeroscape be more water friendly, great for the environment, great for our water bills, and get a rebate. So a win for everyone involved. Then we also have the Taylorsville entrance remodel, which we had a pre-construction meeting last Friday. So that building right now is anticipated to close January 5th. And January 3rd will be its last working day and will be closed approximately 6 months while they change the front entrance, make it a little more visible, expand a little bit to give some room for people to come in and block the cold a little bit more, or block the weather in general a little more. And then last, we have the operations building, Site C, just off the street. We're currently in the schematic design phase. The architect is waiting for seismic evaluations and the expected construction costs. So we internally have been talking about what the building needs, what the layouts are, what staff needs are. So it's still early in the process of that, but we have the building, we're working on it, just more details to come soon. Anyone have any questions?
Do you have any sense on the operations building, when that build out will be complete for we able to?
We anticipate 2027.
Yeah, the summer, being in summer of 2027 at this moment.
Okay.
With the state of the West Valley City Library's HVAC and the potential that it could be closed down, and Taylorsville being the are there any plans that we should be aware of to deal with that? If
daily high hopes to avoid your flash.
The construction at Taylorsville is going to last.
The plan is 6 months. They anticipate probably more like 5 months, but they have the weather delays built into it. So it will be, they're hoping to reopen May.
That was the original plan, is to open before summer.
That's what
so they can afford that.
Yeah.
That's a great question, because that's something we talk a lot about, is proximity of those, yeah, of those branches, and try and time this when we still have a function in West Valley.
Yeah.
And the field will kind of stop, yeah, but stop, isn't it? It's a little
light. It's a small branch. It's a lovely branch, and if you ask our one survey for our flawless branch.
Yeah.
But yes, and so, and we'll also be talking to council a week from tomorrow about our plans for West Valley. So that's, we'll be trying to serve, but, and we know that this is important piece to try and keep those, one of those buildings operational, you know, all the time.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Janae's third week.
I know it all.
Any other questions in general? Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
All right, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Meeting adjourned. See you all next year.
Thank you so much for your support this year, next year. We're so lucky. We talk often about what an amazing board we have. So thanks. If you want to see a tour of our West Jordan branch, we've got very few. And maybe they'll tell you some jokes along the way. No problem. Thank you. Thanks for being here today.